Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. If you saw this program last week, we did Heresy Update Part 1. Today is Part 2. And I said last week, the purpose of this program, the Pastor's Study TV ministry, number one is to preach the gospel of Christ to the salvation of the lost. We want unbelievers to come to saving faith in Christ. That's our main goal. But a secondary goal is to encourage Christian denominations to follow the Word and not the world. Last week we talked about the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Methodists, and the ELCA Lutherans. Sadly, these denominations are abandoning Scripture and following the world. In this program, we do part two. I'm going to do more about the ELCA Lutherans. I used to be one before I led my church out of that denomination into a biblical branch of Lutheranism. And then we're going to talk about the most radical Protestant denomination of all, the United Church of Christ. So I'm going to tell you, can I show you what I got for Christmas? Somebody gave me this for Christmas, and here we go. It's a picture of Martin Luther nailed it, Wittenberg, Germany, 1517. And if you know the story of Martin Luther, in 1517, he was a Catholic monk, but he went to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral and nailed 95 theses, 95 points of contention he had with medieval Catholicism. Well, if Luther was alive today, I think maybe he would go to headquarters in Chicago of the ELCA Lutherans. I think he might be nailing some things to their door. You're going to hear about that now. Let's pray. God, we pray for everyone watching this program that they would regularly go to a good church. If they're not in a church home, find them a good Christian church which preaches the Bible. Lord, lead people out of denominations that have abandoned your word, and Lord, lead them into a good church and speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. First, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which I was a part for years. I've said it before, let me say it again. The ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it's not evangelical. I don't think it's Lutheran. I'm not sure it's a church, but hey, one out of four, they're in America. Or what ELCA really stands for, every Lutheran confession abandoned, or the extremely liberal church in America, or my personal favorite, everything Luther cautioned against. Let me tell you why I led my church out of the ELCA, and you can too if you're an ELCA Lutheran. You just need two-thirds of the vote of your church. First item, ELCA Lutheran University, homosexuality is not wrong. We celebrate it. A friend of mine graduated from Susquehanna University in Pennsylvania. It's an ELCA-related college. He got his alumni mail out to discover that this year they're having new university specialty housing for LGBTQ plus students. And they're opening a new LGBTQ plus resource center. Quote, "This is a space where we want to highlight queer students and their accomplishments, etc." The dean of the director of inclusion and diversity at the college says, quote, "Over 30% of an incoming class tell us that they identify as queer in some way." 30%? I'm sorry, I don't think I believe that. Then my friend wrote a letter complaining about this to Susquehanna. They wrote him back. The university chaplain wrote him back. Listen to this. "Theologically, and I speak now as the university chaplain, I want to be very clear. We do not in any way endorse theologies that frame same-gender attraction as wrong or disordered. Quite the opposite, we celebrate the presence of God in the lives of our LGBTQ, and we celebrate their loves." And he's the Lutheran chaplain of that school. Now, I encourage you, go to my website, pastorstudy.org, and push the button that says, what does the Bible teach about homosexuality? It's not what they're teaching at Susquehanna. Listen, if you have if you're sending your child to college, don't send them to the ELCA colleges where homosexuality and transgenderism has taken over. I wouldn't send anyone to Augsburg University, to St. Olaf College, to Gustavus Adolphus, to Concordia Moorhead, to Luther College, or to Wartburg College. If you want your child to get a biblically faithful education, beware of the ELCA colleges. Next item. Pro-gay Lutheran Church is now a Muslim center. Bethany Lutheran Church in downtown Minneapolis, I hadn't driven by that church for a few years. Recently I did. It's a very pro-gay Lutheran church. It had a gay camp for youth. And its pastor was a practicing homosexual man with a husband. Well, I drove by it recently, and I was pleased to see their gay lesbian flags and stuff, the rainbow stuff, was down. I thought, well, that's good. Then I looked a little careful. That's not a Lutheran church anymore. It's a Muslim center. And see, this is what happens when churches abandon Scripture. They slowly shrink and die, and they have to sell their building. And I looked it up. Back in 1901, that historic church was founded. The Lutherans back then would have been biblical. They would weep to see that their church was taken over by homosexual ideology, and now it's taken over by the Muslims. Next item, ELCA Lutheran denomination calls Thanksgiving the National Day of Mourning. The ELCA has become so left-wing, and they are so into pushing political agendas, they even take Thanksgiving and call it the National Day of Mourning. Now, yes, Native Americans have suffered in American history, but can't we all, Native Americans, liberal ELCA Lutherans, can't we all take one day to thank God without turning it into a political statement? Next item. New temporary ELCA presiding bishop and the gender-neutral hymnal. Now, the head bishop of the ELCA is a woman by the name of Elizabeth Eaton. She's taking a six-month leave of absence. Who have they appointed to replace her for these 6 months? The Reverend Michael Burke. He helped put together, he was the director of worship for the ELCA, he helped put together the current ELCA hymnal. In the ELCA hymnal, we sing songs like Mothering God, You Gave Me Birth. And then the Psalms, the book of Psalms from the Bible, they've desexed all the Psalms to get rid of masculine pronouns for God. And that's the new bishop for the next 6 months. One last item about the ELCA Lutherans. Beware of the 2024 ELCA Youth Gathering. If you go to the ELCA Youth Gathering page on the ELCA.org website, they show 15 staff members for the youth organization. Every one of them lists their preferred pronouns to show how enlightened they are about the new sexuality. Their big convention is coming up, and I've shared this before. At their last convention, 31,000 Lutheran teenagers showed up, and the ELCA put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl on stage to promote transgenderism. Then the radical pastor, Nadia Bowles-Weber, preached in front of the students and had them led them in kind of a mock a baptismal vow, saying, quote, I renounce the lie that queerness is anything other than beauty. Nadia Bowles-Weber, an ELCA Lutheran pastor, got divorced, and she publicly talked about how much she now enjoys sex with her boyfriend. She's unmarried. This is who they put in front of the youth to preach. All right, lastly, let's go to the most liberal mainline Protestant church on the planet, the United Church of Christ. Now, the Pilgrims are the ancestors for the United Church of Christ. People like Jonathan Edwards, biblical Christians, they would weep to see what is called now the United Church of Christ, the Congregational Church. Some of us call the UCC Unitarians Considering Christ, which is kind of what it's become. I stumbled across a sermon from Plymouth United Church of Christ in Des Moines, Iowa. Before she preaches, the woman pastor announces her preferred pronouns, they, them. And the church website says they, referring to this woman, they moved to Des Moines with their wife, Nathan, she, her, and their six-month-old baby. And I tried to, what is this? I'm guessing this is a lesbian married to a lesbian, but the lesbian calls her name Nathan. So you go to the Who We Are section at this UCC congregation, and they say, we don't do dogma. We believe in living the questions. And they say on their website, God loves you just the way you are. Well, does he? Now, listen, Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, God loves sinners. But I like the old saying, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to have you stay that way. And remember, the first word out of Jesus' mouth in the Gospel of Mark was, repent. You won't hear about repenting from sexual sin in the United Church of Christ. So, I have friends, God bless them, who now and then let me use their condo down in Florida. So now and then I escape for a little bit, Minnesota's winter, and I use their condo. In Florida, near their condo, is a large, beautiful United Church of Christ congregation. You'd think from looking at it that it's the most traditional church on earth. Beautiful choir robes, beautiful building, beautiful organ. Well, their former senior pastor was a homosexual who was part of GLSEN, which is a group that helps teenagers accept homosexuality. He was on the board of abortion giant Planned Parenthood. And last year they had a teen GLBT event that had a drag show at this United Methodist Church. So I decided I'm going to go to a worship service and see what it's like. Again, everything is beautiful, choir, etc., etc. I listened carefully during the sermon. The pastor did not say the word Jesus once. And then I listened during the service, and God got de-sexed in some of the liturgy, I think. Then at the end, we sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can't have any of that. That's sexist. Praise God from, praise God, God, God. They got rid of he. And then instead of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, praise Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. See what they did? They got rid of God the Father and God the Son. Because they're enlightened. They know more about God than Jesus, I guess. Listen, I know some of these things are hard to believe. Go to my website, push the F button for Facebook. I've done articles about all these specific items. Well, let me close with some good news. Downtown Minneapolis, there's a large, old stone building called Wesley United Methodist Church. It went woke years ago, started to shrink. Finally, they had to sell their building. Who bought their building? A bunch of young evangelicals, and now Bible-believing Christians are filling the pew. I think John Wesley in the 1700s, got on horseback, rode all over England, evangelizing England. Thousands came to saving faith in Christ. Wesley would have little to do with the United Methodist Church. I think Wesley would rejoice that Wesley United Methodist Church had to close, and a bunch of evangelical Bible believers have taken it over. So there you go. That is our heresy update. If you go to a PCUSA Presbyterian Church, United Methodist Church, United Church of Christ, ELCA Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, we didn't get to them, but they're in the same camp. The Reformed Church in America just went woke on the homosexual issue. The Disciples of Christ, if you're in any of those denominations, I gotta pray that you will just have your eyes open and join a good biblical church where you can give your money, where it won't go to pay for abortions, for instance, in the denominational health care plan. God bless you, and we'll do our questions now in the question and answer segment.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, here's a letter from a viewer. Why is it difficult for a liberal Christian to be saved? As I was thinking about this, I think about some of my friends who I talk about abortion, and I tell them that God knows us before we're born, Psalms 139, Jeremiah 1:5. But a lot of times, they're ignorant about what the Bible has to say. What do you think?
Well, a couple things. I'm not willing to say that every liberal Christian is not saved. It just depends how radical they are. And the Lord has to judge that kind of thing. I can't. But the problem is some of these liberal Christians that I've been talking about, they went to seminary, they've studied the Bible, and they're still denying Scripture. What do you do with that? And I think it's pride that they think they're enlightened. They know more than the normal Christian for the last 2,000 years. And they've just got this spiritual pride and arrogance that they're more intellectual than the rest of us. And it's sad. Yeah, that's the best I can do. Yeah.
It's sad that they don't stand on the Word of God. And it is what it is.
And they would say, well, the Word of God doesn't say what you said it says. You know. Then I would say, okay, for 2,000 years have Christians been wrong on abortion and homosexuality, and suddenly in the 21st century you're enlightened and you know something that they don't? I mean, the Bible is pretty clear on some things.
It is pretty clear on some things. Can a person who practices abortion be saved?
If they repent. Dr. Bernard Nathanson did thousands of abortions. He was a Jewish man, came to Christ and stopped doing them. So I think if you repent of it, you can. But on the other hand, 1 John 3:15, we know that a murderer does not have eternal life dwelling in him. So if you're continuing in it and you're doing it and you're not repenting, I don't think you have eternal life in Christ.
And thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Can you be saved without baptism or a Holy Communion?
You know, I think the Bible teaches every Christian should be baptized and take Holy Communion. Can there be an exception? Well, the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. We know he's in paradise. So there can be exceptions, but the norm is every Christian should be baptized, every Christian should take communion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the Bible teach there will be degrees of glory?
Yeah. Are there people in Christians in heaven that have more rewards than other Christians in heaven? I think in a way the answer is yes. And here's where I get this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul the Apostle talks about two Christians on Judgment Day. They both have the same foundation for their house, Jesus. They're both saved. But one builds upon the foundation with wood, straw, stubble, and the other with, you know, gold, etc., etc. Well, the fire of Judgment Day comes against each house. The man who built shoddily, it says he himself will be saved, but only is through fire. Like, his house burns down. He's saved. He goes into heaven, but he goes smoking in. And then the second guy, it says his house stands the fire, and he goes into heaven with reward. So I want to be that Christian who's living my life for Christ, going into heaven with rewards. I think the big deal will be that we get in at all. That we're saved by the grace of God alone. But God does, according to 1 Corinthians 3, reward us according to our works.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is it wrong for a wealthy person to spend large amounts on himself, like a $1 million house, instead of for charitable contributions?
Well, you know, Mona, American Christians are pretty wealthy by world standards.
We are.
Wouldn't it be nice if we lived simple lives and sent buckets to missions? I'm not here to say it's wrong to have a nice house and a nice car, but as a Christian, shouldn't we
keep our mind on the gospel and get missionaries all over the world. That's my response.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why evangelize or do mission work if God has already predestined who will be saved?
Yeah. If you watch this show, you know that I believe in predestination, that we're not saved by our free will, because on my own free will, I'd never come to Christ because I'm a sinner. It's only when the Holy Spirit opens my heart, like he opened Lydia's heart, to receive the things said by the Apostle Paul. So, why, if God has everybody predestined, why preach the gospel? Why send out missionaries? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, not only does God predestine the ends who will be saved, he predestines the means to the ends, the way people are saved. And the way God has predestined people to be saved is through the preaching of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So we get out there, we preach it, only God knows who's going to respond, only God knows whom he has called and predestined. But our job is to preach to every creature under the sun, because that's the way God has ordained to get his saved saved.
All right. Here's another letter from a viewer. We saw a Christian TV show that said the earth was created by God before Genesis 1:12, and God destroyed the first earth, then made the second earth with Adam and Eve. Is that right?
I don't think so. I don't see anything in the Bible that said God created the world first, and then he killed it all, and then created it a second time. I mean, he did the flood, but that's the same creation. So, you know, now and then you get some crazy guys on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one person, a preacher that a lot of people listen to. He's died now, but he's still on TV. He thinks Eve had sex with the snake in the garden. Mm-hmm. That's not in the Bible. So just be careful with some of the TV preachers. Even me, test everything against Scripture. And if it says that Eve had sex with the snake, you believe it. It doesn't say it.
And read the Bible for yourself.
Read the Bible for yourself.
Our church was considering leaving the ELCA, and an ELCA bishop came to our church and said, regarding homosexuality, "I don't think God judges us on our opinions." I would love a biblical answer to that statement.
Okay. Well, there are gray areas in Scripture. Not everybody agrees on exactly how the second coming is going to happen, or on baptism and the mode of baptism. There are some things in Scripture that are a little gray.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things in Scripture that are not opinion. They're pretty black and white. One of which is God made us male and female, and that homosexuality is a sin, and that abortion is wrong, Psalm 139. So I would say to that bishop, here's what I'd say. For 2,000 years, Christians have understood the Bible to say that homosexuality is wrong. What, Bishop? Have you discovered something they missed?
Mm-hmm.
Luther, Calvin, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, I mean, all of the saints for 2,000 years have read the Bible and believed the plain meaning of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
What, Bishop? Are you smarter than all the Christians that came before us?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is intellectual pride going on. Somehow they're enlightened more than the normal Christian.
Mm-hmm. Good answer.
Yeah.
Why does a Christian have to be part of a man-made denomination? We are never commanded to join a group other than to join with others for prayer and praise and service. Denominations can cause divisions. What denomination is God?
Well, God is no God is not a Lutheran. I'm a Lutheran. I don't think God's a Lutheran. Problem with what she said. I mean, I resonate with what she said, and I think the Apostle Paul did too. Because if you read 1 Corinthians as a chapter 1 or 2. Paul says, some of you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter. What, did Paul get crucified for you? And he doesn't like that either. And I don't like that, you know, in Europe, they don't call the Lutheran Church the Lutheran Church, they call it the Evangelical Church, the Gospel Church. So I don't like it either, but if this lady is, we are commanded to be part of a church, mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's saying it shouldn't be a man-made denomination. Okay, then go to a non-denominational church.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have the same distinctives as the other denominations. So most non-denominational churches are kind of Baptist, adult baptism, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, but you make sure, I would say to her, make sure you go to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the denominational label, go to a non-denominational church, but go to church.
Amen. Good answer.
Yeah.
Why are there so many different beliefs if Christians have the same Bible?
Yeah. Well, My best answer is in 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul himself, who knew a lot, said, "Now I know in part, then, heaven, I shall understand fully." Mm-hmm. So I think Christians, the Bible is clear on the most important thing. Mm-hmm. There's one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're saved by grace and not by good works. Morality issue. The Bible's pretty clear on a lot. Mm-hmm. But there are some gray areas where, unfortunately, we don't have full knowledge, which is why we have differences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Regarding people who never hear of Jesus, doesn't Romans chapter 2 teach that if we live according to the law God put on our hearts, even if we never hear the gospel, we will be saved?
Yeah, this is an older lady, I think, that wrote mm-hmm. this in, and I just wrote her back. She's 94. And I said to her, the problem with Romans chapter 2 is, as saving us, yes, God has written his law on our heart. So even unbelievers that have never heard of Christ know that thou shalt not kill, mm-hmm. you shouldn't commit adultery. The problem is, nobody keeps the law of God that he has written on mm-hmm. their heart. We've all broken the God's law in thought, word, and deed. So that's not going to save the pagan that never hears of Jesus. You need Jesus to be saved. You need to believe in Christ to be saved, which is why we need to get the missionaries out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Is my dog in heaven? You suggest probably not. What do you think about Isaiah 11, 6 through 9? The lion shall lie down with the lamb, or Revelation 19, 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse.
Yeah. So this lady is saying there are horses in heaven, there are lambs and lions in heaven. And my 10 cents is that's what the lion shall lie down with the lamb is talking about the peace at the end of time that Christ will bring in. And so, you know, do you take that literally or not? I had a lady very angry that I said on the air that I think Jesus died for humans, not for your dog. I don't think, and I think when you go to heaven, you're not going to be looking around for Mitzi, is my dog up here? You're going to be so overwhelmed by the glory of God, you're not going to care. So I don't think you'll see your pet in heaven. I could be wrong. There you go.
And many dog owners hope you are wrong.
That's right. I love dogs, but there you go.
Can you talk about what we are to do when we see beggars on the corner or what seem to be illegal aliens requesting money?
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, give to whoever asks you. Does that ask of you? Does that mean I have to give to someone who... somebody asked Jesus, divide the inheritance with my brother. And Jesus said, no. So I think generally we're supposed to be generous. Does that mean if somebody has alcohol in their breath, they want more booze, I have to give them money? I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.